guys. All right, that's a little bit more like it. You know the drill, tune to the person next to you, but don't tell them you're beautiful today. We're going to change it up a bit. Tell them, today you're shining, you're glowing brighter than the sun. Let's go for that one today. Let's go. Yes. All right. Some of you guys really enjoyed that, didn't you? Especially if you're an introvert and that's just awkward. And if it's your first time here and you had to endure that, that's okay. We do that every week. At least we try to do that every week. And it really boosts our self-esteem. At least in one place, everybody thinks we're beautiful and pretty and shining and gloating and radiant. So it is good to do that. You guys doing all right? Oh, boy, man. You guys doing all right? Shoot, tough crowd today. All right. You guys doing all right? Okay, all right, that's a little better. Okay, now I'm almost convinced. A few things before we get started. We announced we are collecting food for the U.S. Coast Guard and families who have been affected by the government shutdown and have been furloughed. The U.S. Coast Guard is also passing on the food to other people. It's not just for them. It's to anybody who might need it. One of the things that they asked the most about, and I thought you might want to know this, is for formula and diapers and baby supplies. It seems like our guys in the Coast Guard, they like to have families, and that's a really good thing. And they have kids and babies, and that's one of the greatest needs actually they have, and they ask for the most. So if you want to get something specific, wipes, diapers of all sizes, and baby formula, that might be particularly helpful. And again, just bring it here. Brandon Simpson, you guys know him very well. He's helping us coordinate the logistics together with our women's ministry, Stephanie, Audrey, Sherry, and we're very grateful to do that. The other thing is, there was a birthday, right? Ian, you are a year wiser, right? All right, happy birthday. It seems like he's not appreciating the attention, so we won't sing, Ian. That's okay, but we are celebrating with you today. Happy birthday to you. So let's get ready for today. Today I want us to spend a little time talking about misery and joy. And what is the distance between misery and joy? So what is misery? I was on the Facebook this week, and somebody posted that this is the most depressing week of the year. In fact, there were some pseudo-scientists who came up with a formula that says that Monday of this third week of December is the most depressing day of January. Sorry. It's the most depressing day of the entire year. It turns out it's a big marketing scam, and the research that was done about it, they have actually a formula, a gigantic formula to justify that, and it's based on all this different factors, like the fact that most of us by now got our credit card statements from December. That can be misery. some of us have been counting that there's still 340 days till Christmas comes again, and that is misery. Some of us been thinking that it won't be another 3 months until we hit the beach and can actually, you know, get in that water and enjoy it. And all these things make this time of the year be particularly miserable for some people. And when you think of misery, I don't know what comes to your mind. I remember growing up, misery being eggplants and onions. I hated when I had to eat eggplants and onions. It was like the most disgusting thing, and that made me miserable. I'm wondering if there's some kids here. What is misery to you guys? Stress. Yes? How old are you, man? You're too young to be thinking about stress. Yeah, we need to talk to mom and dad. What's going on there? But yes, stress makes us miserable. Anybody else? What is misery? Say what? Long periods of rain with no sunshine. Yes, starting the week at 24 degrees and then going to 70, getting all the summer clothes out again and then being 24 again in the by the end of the week. What else? What else is misery? Yes. Yes. What's being alone? Oh my goodness. Yes. And thank goodness that we're here and we got each other, right? Yes. Being alone. I'm going to talk to your sisters there and brothers. Yeah, what's going on there? But anyways, misery. Sometimes misery is when cowboys just can't tame some rams going around. And next weekend is going to be miserable for many people across America. I see one more hand back here. Yes. Being bored. That is misery. Yes. And you, young lady? Being sad. Okay, very good. Yes. Illness. Being ill. Isn't that misery? And I've been thinking a little bit about this whole thing about misery. And this being the most miserable time of the year with all this weather and changing. And then I started thinking, what's the opposite of misery? And that's joy. And it's caused a lot of problems to me because as I was thinking about joy and misery and all these people sharing how miserable they are in January, I've been experiencing over the last 21 days just overwhelming joy. It's just been over the top joy like I don't think I ever experienced before. And I started thinking, what is the difference and what is the distance between misery and joy? And it turns out, as we'll talk in just a little bit, it's about 6 inches. That's all the distance between misery and joy. Because I started thinking about all these things that we call misery, and I realized that that's not really it. Because during this past few weeks, I had hospital visits with people who have been in bed, and I have been sharing every morning online. By the way, if you weren't able to participate with the Renewed in 21 Days Challenge, I invite you to just go to our Facebook page and start it whenever you want. Go back to day one. It did wonders for me. It did wonders for many of you. I know you guys, some of you guys did it over the summer as well. I decided to do it again, and some of us have done it twice already, I think. We did it over the summer and in the spring. But how come, even though circumstance haven't drastically changed, joy has taken over my life? And I see that in other people, because I was in a hospital visit, people who were in pain and with drugs, and yet they were experiencing joy. And people who had experienced loss during the very same week that I spent time with them and going to a memorial service, and instead of experiencing misery, they were experiencing joy. Because somehow, joy can be found in all things. And perhaps the difference between misery and joy is not that far away. Maybe it's not about circumstance. Maybe it's not about the things that happen to us. Maybe it's somewhere else. So I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles on John chapter 15, and we're going to spend just a few moments talking about the distance between misery and joy, and where I think joy can be found. And this is going to be, in a way, a small recap of things that we've been talking about over the last several weeks and this experience that I've been on. So John chapter 15, if you want to follow along. If not, I'll put it on the screen. But before we do that, I want to invite you to just pray. I'm going to talk to Noah after the service. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this chance that we have to be together. Maybe out there is a fair bit of misery going around. And yet somehow, there is joy burning within. And that joy can be for anyone's taking. That joy can be ours. And as we spend this time together, I just pray that you will guide our minds and our thoughts, and that you will bring joy to our lives today, and that that joy may grow and expand and multiply all throughout. This I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So as I was thinking about this thing about misery, I heard a pastor who quoted a pastor, and that's the standards of journalism today. That's good enough of a reference. A pastor who heard a pastor reference what misery is. And he defined misery this way. And I'm going to use his definition. Misery, yes, this is what misery is. Misery is being a Seventh-day Adventist without knowing Jesus. Let that sink in for a second. Let that sink in for a second. Misery is being a Seventh-day Adventist without knowing Jesus. Now, maybe that's a bit too narrow for you. Maybe you're here for the very first time. You're not even sure what Seventh-day Adventist is. So let me broaden it just a little bit more. Misery is being a Christian who doesn't know Jesus. So misery is a Christian who who doesn't know Jesus. And yet, let me broaden that even a little bit more. Because maybe even the whole Christian thing, you're still seeing if you're going to buy into it. So let me broaden it just a tad more to see if we really get what I think he was trying to say. Misery is doing the things without knowing why you're doing the things. Now, does that make a little more sense to you now? Misery is going to work, bringing a paycheck home, and not knowing what it is that we're all going on about. Right, Jonathan? What is this thing that we're doing all about? Misery is living life and doing the things that we think we ought to be doing and missing on the point of what all of it really is. So when Jesus talked about this, he talked about joy in these terms. And I'm going to pick up this story in John chapter 5. To this point, he had been talking about this vine and these branches, just to bring a little context. And he's having this intimate conversation with his disciples, his best friends. And he's trying to get them to a point where they can experience joy. And this is how he sets up this part of the conversation, at least where we're picking it up. He says, John chapter 15, 8. This is Jesus' best friend writing. He says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So as he's framing this conversation about joy, which we'll get in just a second, here's kind of the setup to it. He's telling them that they should remain in him, but he says that there's something about bearing fruits that brings joy. When we started this journey back even in July of last year, David brought out this very important point, how Aristotle defined joy, and he defined it as eudaimonia, which is fruitfulness, which is fruition, which is bringing to be. There's something about us that we are happy when we feel like we are flourishing. In that flourishing, we find joy. And there was also another definition that was shared when it was Sean Akers, which is we find joy when we move closer to the purpose for which we were created to live out. And in that flourishing, in that fruition process, we experience joy. And this is what Jesus introduces here. "This is my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." In bearing fruit, there is joy. And then he takes it a little further. And then he just really kind of like changes gears really fast. And he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." So now fruition and this thing about joy that he's trying to set up is tied into commandments, right? Do you remember some of those commandments? Yes or no? Some of us were instructed at a very early age that we should keep certain commandments, right? And yet, those commandments can make us very, very miserable, can they? Because there's nothing worse, there's nothing more miserable, we said at the very beginning, than being a Christian or being a Seventh-day Adventist who knows all these things which maybe we ought to do and we aren't to do, and yet miss out on all the joy and live in misery. So he says, "You will find fruition, follow my commandments." But then he gets very specific, and he says this, "I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." And somehow, in this commandment, somehow, in this bearing much fruit, he says, you will experience joy. You will experience joy. Keep my commandments, bear fruit, and you will experience joy. Not misery, joy. And then he says this, "And this is my commandment, that you love each other as I have loved you. And greater love has no one else than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." Because all of the commandments that were ever given were to be summarized in this one commandment. You want to experience joy? Love each other as I have loved you. You want to experience joy? Greater love no one has than this, than to lay down one lives for your friends. Do this, and you will experience joy. And then Jesus makes a clear distinction, because up to this point, is that too practical yet? Well, yeah, it is. You love your neighbors, of course. But then he seems to change shifts one more time. He says, now check this out. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And in these verses, Jesus is trying to describe a change in status, a change in mind, where we transition from misery and joy to joy. And the interesting thing is that there's nothing kind of different that he's saying that's going to happen. He says, still keep my commandments and you will experience joy. But he's saying that the relationship is going to be different, because I no longer call you servants. Now I have called you friends. Let me try to put this a little differently. This week, I have a heating system at home that works with geothermal heat. And what it does is I have a well pump that grabs water from the ground. It circulates it through the heat pump in my home, and it uses some of the warmth in the winter and coolness in the summer to help heat and cool my house. Now, my piping system for that well went bad this week, and it developed a leak, and I had to fix it, and I had to change a solenoid valve. At this point, it's really boring, right? It's very technical. The solenoid valve is a little thing that gets an electric input, and it opens up the valve, and it allows water to go through, and it closes the valve to stop the water going through, because it doesn't need to run 24/7. It only needs to run when the AC or the heating is on. And as I replace the valve, things just went haywire, and I kind of like broke all the pipes, and my garage started getting flooded. And I had brought a brand new valve, and I couldn't understand what in the world was wrong. And then I noticed that the valve had an arrow. What do you think that arrow meant? What did it mean? Flow, yes, where the water is supposed to flow. And if you install the valve in the wrong flow, then everything gets out of whack and it starts building pressure in all the wrong places, and it generates just a giant mess. And I installed the valve in the wrong direction, and nothing worked. And yet I switched the valve, and then the system started humming and heating and cooling, as it always should. See, many times this relationship between our actions, what we do, these commandments that we keep, it's not so much a matter about them in themselves, but it's in the direction that they're coming through. If we're flowing against the current, against the heart of the person who asks us to keep this commandment, if we're doing these things just because in themselves we think we find some joy, we're missing the point, and we're going against the current, and nothing works, and we can be miserable, miserable, miserable if we're missing the point. And yet if we align ourselves with the flow of the universe, if we align ourselves with the flow of this creator God, and he now is calling you his friend, and you start going along that flow, then everything begins to work and hums and sings to the harmony of the universe. And we experience joy. Let me put it another way, because that was very technical and geeky. I'm going to pretend that I have a friend who is a judge, because I haven't made one yet. I've seen many judges throughout my short life. None of them I could call my friends. I was under other circumstances. And each time you go see a judge, this judge sees a lot of people every single day. Now, there's some people who he sees because they received a letter in the mail that says you need to go see this judge. And they show up and they see the judge. And a lot of them experience misery, not joy, right? I have gone out of courtrooms feeling joy, actually, so let's be fair. But a lot of them can go under those circumstances and miss out on the joy. Now, this judge also has an office, and in that office, it has a secretary. And this secretary also sees him maybe even every day. And the judge calls his secretary, she or he comes and sees him, because he knows that if he doesn't go and sees him, maybe she's going to miss out on something, or he's going to miss out on something, like a paycheck at the end of the month, right? And you go and you see him because you're expecting to get something in return. And maybe this secretary sometimes experiences joy when she gets the paycheck, but that joy is not complete. And then this judge also has children. He has a son that's about 5 years old. And this son also comes and sees him. When he calls his son comes, and he kind of obeys because, well, he has to, right? And that's about it. And sometimes the son experiences joy, and sometimes he doesn't. And then he has another son who's about 21 years old. And this son is kind of in the middle, where his dad calls him, and he comes, but it's half out of obligation, you know? Well, mom is calling me to help him, and dad is calling me to help him, and I guess I should go. And the other half, maybe sometimes, is out of joy. But then this judge has friends. And he calls his friends to come see him. And they come see him not because a letter was sent, not because they're getting paid to see him, not because they have to, not because they owe it to him, but these friends come to see him because they want to. And they experience joy in spending time with their friend. And I think that's what Jesus is constantly trying to get us to. And he's saying, I want you to move into this flow. I no longer call you servants. Now I call you friends. And here's the distinction. He says, because you know what I'm up to. You know what my business is. So now, instead of calling you servants, you're not a servant. You were never created to be a servant. You were created to be my friends. And now you know what I'm about. Now you know my heart. Now you have known me. And now I called you friends. For everything that I've learned, I have told you, so that your joy may be complete. See, doing without knowing is misery. But knowing why you're doing is joy. When we come to realize who our friend is, and when we come align ourselves with this flow that this creator God has made, we can experience joy. When we learn that he is our friend, it doesn't matter what we're going through. I remember talking to Libby, who shared that even from a hospital bed where she couldn't get out of the bed, she was bed bound, she couldn't move out of the bed, she experienced joy. And she would be praying for her friends, and she would be talking to her friend, and she experienced joy, not misery, but joy. Because the distance between misery and joy, it's just about 6 inches, the 6 inches between our ears. How we look at things, how we realize why it is that we're doing the things that we're doing. It's about flow and direction, and just 6 inches separate us between misery and joy. Because joy is not external circumstances or things that happen to us. Joy is an internal fire that burns within our hearts. Plutarch, I shared this on the 21 days. Plutarch said the mind that has been renewed, the mind, it is not simply a vessel to be filled, but it's a fire to be kindled. That's what joy is. And that joy is sparked in the heart from friendship with our Creator God. And then that consumes and clothes everything around us. So no matter the circumstances, when we know who our friend is, when we know that he is our friend, and when we know that he has called us to change this world, then joy is ours. And we can live on purpose and with purpose. Because the other thing that I learned during these 21 days is that when you know your why, and you start living out your why, you always know what to do. as I was talking to people, as they've gone through this experience, I was talking to Jonathan and says, you know, when I rediscovered that, you know, I knew that I wanted to be plugged in and be part of something bigger than myself. I was talking to Audrey. I don't see Audrey. And Audrey said that when she discovered this type of love, she wanted to just be part of something. She started volunteering for years, sharing school and doing something to change the lives of children. When you're part of something, you realize why it is that you're doing what you're doing, why you have been placed here on earth. You start desiring and longing to be part of something bigger than ourselves. And I think that is for a very simple reason. Because John would eventually write, Jesus' best friend, the best friend that Jesus had here on earth, John, would write what his best friend was all about. And this is how John put it, talking about a place that is coming where everything is going to be renewed, talking about a place where there will be no more death, there will be no more illness, there will be no more problems, there will be no more breakdown in relationships, where there will be no more separation, where there will be no more cancer, no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering. When he was talking about all these things that were coming, when he was describing this new place, this is what he said about his best friend Jesus and his business. He says, he who is sitting on the throne said, I am making everything new. Write this down, these words down, because they are true, trustworthy, and true. Because this God who is our friend, he is about making a new world. He's about making all things new, but he's not promising just to do that in the future someday. He says, I am making right now, right in the midst of this world, I am making all things new. And the closer you align yourself to that new creation that he's doing, the more joy you will experience. And I've experienced that this past 21 days. It's changed my life. I have experienced more joy than ever before, not because these last 21 days were easy. I've watched people mourn the death of a sibling. I've been to hospitals. I've seen people endure hardship, unemployment, relationships break down. And yet I have seen overwhelming joy in the midst of all of it. Because even in this, even in the acceptance of these things, Christy, I'm thinking of you. In the midst of all of this, if we remember who our friend is, and we remember what this friend is all about, we can experience overwhelming joy right here, right now, today. I'm done, guys. I'm on this new role this year of doing short sermons, and I think you guys appreciate it. I mean, last week you guys clapped for the very first time. But I wanna leave you with a challenge. I wanna leave you with a challenge. I will not do an appeal, but I do wanna leave you for a challenge. Because this past 21 days, I've experienced joy, and that joy has made me more confident. That joy has made me more courageous, and it has done things to me. So if you haven't done the 21-day journey, first of all, I encourage you to do it. Do it. I don't usually sell things. I'm not really comfortable with that. I think it violates some sort of ethics and morals sometimes. But I'm telling you this one. Do the 21 days. It will change your life. I mean it. It's not marketing. I'm telling you, I'm a different person than I was 21 days ago. If you've done the 21 days, here's my challenge for you. Or if you're in a state of joy, right now you're confident. Right now you're feeling courage. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. Do those things that you've been waiting a long time to do. Because now you're in the perfect mindset to do that. Let's start with this. I said it this morning, so if you already watched it this morning, I'm sorry, it's a repeat. Find something in your life that for a long time you've been wanting to cut out. And cut it out. Cindy and I have gotten rid of over 20, 30-gallon bags of stuff from our home. That we just needed to cut out from our lives. It was overwhelming. It was borderline hoarding. No, it wasn't that bad, but we haven't used it in a year. We're probably not going to use it in 2019 either. And somebody might benefit. So we've been doing donation. We got like donation receipts from Salvation Army, Goodwill, Samaritan House, Union Mission. We've just taken that van over and over again. Maybe there are things that you can cut out that are just weighing you down so you can focus on the more important things. Maybe there's something in your heart that you need to cut out. Maybe there's forgiveness that needs to be granted. Maybe there's freedom that needs to be given. Maybe there are habits that need to be broken and chains that need to be shattered. I know this 21 days, I have one very specific thing that God and I wrestled over.
And today I'm experiencing joy because of that. Maybe there is something in your heart that needs to be let go of. Today is the day to do that as God continues to renew our minds in joy. So that was the one thing. If you didn't do any of this, do the 21 days. If you did the 21 days, the one thing is maybe it's time to let something go of our lives. Maybe you've been doing something for the last 10 years and you don't know why. And this is, I'm going to regret this so much, but I said it already like 2 weeks ago. Maybe you're volunteering for something and you did it because you feel you had to, but you lost the passion and you lost the fire. Maybe either ask God to rekindle that, or maybe pray for what's the next thing. And feel free to let go. Now, when you let go of that, here's the next one. Do something you've been wanting to do for a while. Go and do something that it's been years since you thought, man, I really wish I could do that. And do it. Do it. Just do it. Yes, Nike advertisement. Just do it. And allow it to bring joy to your heart. Elizabeth Gilbert likes to say, I love going out and just giving permission lips. You want to do something? Permission granted. Go ahead. Do it. Enjoy. Do it and find joy in those things. Sian and I, for 3 years since we purchased a house, we said we wanted to do something in the main living area. And it's been 3 years since we had been talking about it. Last week, we did it. And this brought joy to our hearts. And then try to do something even more meaningful. It's usually the good things that stop us from getting the best things. So as we cut maybe even some good things, now allow yourself to experience the best things. And last but not least, now commit yourself to bringing renewal around you. Because one of the things that became increasingly apparent the more and more I talked to people throughout these 21 days, all of them kind of share the same exact experience. Whether they were stuck, Linda, and they got unstuck, whether they were asking, what are we going on and on about, whether it was, I just need to find acceptance, whether it was, I just need to move on, all of them eventually found joy in serving, in purpose, in being part of something bigger than yourself. So as we start this year together, if you want to experience true joy, he says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. But here's the truth. Greater love, there is no this, no greater love than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. Now that you know who your friend is, you want to experience joy? Lay down your life. Live for something better than yourself, and you will experience complete joy. Bring renewal to someone in your life. Bring renewal to your school. Bring renewal to your church. Bring renewal to something around you, and you will experience overwhelming joy. And here's the trick. Start with one person. Start with one person. There is one person around you who needs to feel the joy you're feeling. There is one person around you whose life is misery, and they're just 6 inches away from joy. They're not miles away from joy. They're just 6 inches away from joy. And you're the bridge that can cross those 6 inches, and they can experience joy. You want your joy to be complete? Find one person this year to whom you will commit yourself to allowing them to find joy. And you will be renewed. This world will be renewed. Our church will be renewed. Because he says, I am making all things new. Not just that day. I am making all things new right here, right now, today. And you get to be part of that renewal. And you get to experience that joy, his joy, when you're a part of that renewal. So that's all, folks. And that's all I have to say about that. Loretta? See, you're not ready for the shorter sermons because nobody's coming up or anything like that. I'm going to have to go back to the 45 minutes or something to give you time to join in. All righty.
Well, I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to the joy of going to heaven. And I'm excited to share and introduce this song to you. It is a new melody with an old hymn. So as you sing with us, just enjoy this. It's a really good one. Oh, in a minute. There we go. Thank you. One day you'll make everything new, Jesus. One day you will bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away, no more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved, every anxious thought left behind, no more fear. When we is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed on that day. One day we'll be free, free indeed, Jesus. One day all this struggle will cease. And we will see your glory revealed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll see. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. One day we will see face to face, Jesus. Is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed. Yes, in a moment we shall be changed. In a moment we shall be changed. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory.
You bow your heads with me as we close. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this worship, for bringing us together and for giving us your word that you're going to bring us all together on that day. Your word is good. It's solid, and we base our faith on it. Bless us this afternoon as we share food, as we share what's going on in our lives, stories from the week, our struggles, and hopefully our joy. And bless the speaker coming today who has a very unique and interesting perspective to share that you've put in his heart to share. He's come here for no other reason than to put what's in his heart and in his life to give it to us. So thank you for that opportunity. And as we go our separate ways afterwards, help us walk with that joy. Help us walk with our heads up and our eyes open to everyone that you put into our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray together. Amen. All right, that concludes our worship. Please stay for potluck and the 2 o'clock presentation on Islam. See you next week.